what we had made, you know, and it. And the boys had made handicraft things, and the girls had made either garments or, one year I made drone work, I know. But when we made garments, they had a county style show. And one year, you won't believe it, but I was the county style champion.
Oh, really? Did you, you had
and
made
I competed.
You wore?
I made the outfit that I wore. Mm-hmm. And they sent me to Lansing to compete, where I lost. It was, and I didn't want to win, I don't think, anyway, because I would have had to go to Chicago to compete then with all the different states. You see, I would, and I, that would have been Michigan style champion, and I,
was it
I would probably been fighting to death to go to Chicago. This was for 4-H. Mm-hmm. But what I started to tell you, when you mentioned the Temple Theater, that's what made me think of it. They had that style show at the Temple. And we were back in the wings, and we'd walk across one at a time and go out in the middle and walk all around so they could all see all of us. And the music they always played for that was I can't think what the name of that was. It just escapes me. Every time I hear that piece, I can see kids, girls walking very straight and sedately in the style show. That's Narcissus. Is there a piece named Narcissus?
I don't know.
I can't.
All I know is rock.
You don't know that piece? Well, anyway, it brings back memories every time I hear that music.
Who were the judges, though?
They came from Michigan State University.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did very many people go to college then? Mostly boys.
No, not too much.
A lot of girls did.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was an exception because we didn't have the money to go.
What did they go for? I mean, they had county normal then, didn't they, for teaching?
It was a county normal at Mount Pleasant, the training school. That wouldn't be a county normal, though, would it? That was a state teacher's school.
Oh, was it?
State training. There was a teacher, that was always a teacher's college. They called it the training, teacher's training. Mm-hmm. I think teacher's training college. It was a county normal, but I don't know where it was. And you could get a limited certificate to teach there by going to school there. I don't know too much about that because I wasn't interested in being a teacher. I always wanted to work in an office. I took a commercial course in high school. Typing, bookkeeping, and shorthand. I got real good at shorthand. And then my eyes became very bad, and so I just had to drop it because it's hard on my eyes to do that all the time. Let's see, now you wanted me to tell you some more about Bridgeport. I remembered something. You'll be interested in this because your mother worked at the post office. Our post office was in the front of the old hardware store, over at the side, and the man that owned the man the hardware store was also the postmaster. He did it on the side. And they couldn't have had very many boxes there. You had to ask for your mail. They had one row, I think it was, of about 10 boxes that you could open, the lock boxes.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And the rest of them were all, I just couldn't tell you how many, but it was very few that they had. And you got your mail there. Well, like general delivery is what it would be. You had to ask for your mail. And you could buy money orders there. And stamps. And that. And Mr. Beach was the postmaster when I was a little kid.
How much were the stamps? Must have been.
Oh, golly, I can remember when they had penny stamps and 2-cent stamps. The postage has gone up terrifically in my lifetime.
Yeah, it has in mind.
You could buy a penny postal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bought lots of them. Penny postal cards and probably the stamps on the postage on a letter was probably 2 cents.
Oh.
But I don't remember for sure, but I know that we all, and a lot of people when I worked at the post office still came in and asked for penny postals. And they weren't that price then.
No, first time.
And now I don't know how much they are.
Postal
cards? 8 cents?
Yeah.
Something like that.
They are, they're 8 cents.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, I had something on the other side here. Oh, I was also telling you about flowers being down here.
Yeah.
You might get a kick out of this. We used to go, they didn't have the new bridge that went across the bridge, the river down here on Fort Street.
Yeah.
Or not Fort, what do they call it? Fayette. Yeah. didn't have that at all. We went across this old bridge down here that's blocked off. That's where people drove across. And when you went across that road there, between there and down at the corner where it connects with the other one,
mm-hmm.
was always underwater in the spring for a couple weeks anyway, I guess, maybe longer, I don't remember. But anyway, when it would go down, as soon as it would go down now, about now, the violets would come up. And you can't believe the beautiful violets would go over. They have stems like that. And the kids would always go over there and pick violets. We call that the flats. And the mosquitoes were as big as dogs in there. And my mother still laughs about the time that this Betsy I told you about that lived downtown, she was a city girl. And she came out and we wanted to go pick violets. And some farmer over there had cows that he, in the field across on the other side of the railroad track, and some way they got out. And of course I was scared of cows too, and Betsy probably never been close to one. And we were picking violets, and we saw these cows coming, and the cows probably didn't even know we were there, but we were so scared, and we started running. And when we got home, we just about collapsed, I guess. And we told my mother that a whole bunch of bulls chased us. And she still laughs about the bunch of bulls that chased Betsy and me home. Of course, they never chased us at all. But we thought they did. It's on the other side here. I was going to tell you what we did to make money. Of course, as I told you, this when I was growing up, times were pretty hard for most people. And by the time I got into high school, I worked every summer picking berries. We started out when strawberries came on in June, late June. And I have picked many quarts of strawberries for a cent and a half quart.
Wow.
And I could pick over 100 quarts a day. I don't know whether I could do it
now. You must have been up picking berries.
I could pick fast. And I could get down on my knees too then and crawl, go real fast. Then as soon as the strawberries were gone, my cherries would be on. We picked cherries. I don't remember what we got for those. But we had to go up and climb on ladders. And then as soon as the cherries were done, I'd pick out at McGrandy's and they had gooseberries.
I had gooseberries.
They're a little green. Berry, and then they also had currants. Did they have gooseberries? No, they didn't have gooseberries. It was my grandmother that had gooseberries. And it makes a very good jelly.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It was currants, that were little red currants that we picked out at McGrandy's. Out on McGrandy Road, you know
mm-hmm.
where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had blackberries, and they had red raspberries, and I picked lots of red raspberries for nickel quart. Oh, bless them that. 2-4 cents a quart, because they surely didn't sell for very much, because you see prices were down. And the truck would come and we'd gather at the corners here, and just about all, a lot of the kids in town would do that. Boys and girls alike, because boys couldn't find jobs either.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought our school clothes that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we saved
out.
We were a lot of work, too. It was hard work and it was hot work. And then you mentioned the golf course over here. My brothers and the other young boys in town, if they grew up, were caddies. Now they don't have caddies because they have golf carts that they pull and these other things that they ride in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they caddied, they carried. And on tournament days, the boys could do quite a bit caddying. And you may laugh at this now, the way the kids dress, but the caddies were required to wear white pants and white shirts.
Oh, yeah?
And on tournament days, when they'd be having tournaments over there, my mother says she's washed them, and dried them, and ironed them again so they could have clean clothes. They had to be clean and neat.
Mm-hmm.
The men wouldn't let them work over there if their pants were dirty. And some of those bags were so big and heavy, and those kids could earn quite a bit. I don't remember now what they got paid, but some of them were pretty good tippers.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They tipped?
Mm-hmm. They paid well. And that was what the boys did, a lot of them, to earn money. But see, my brother went, too, to pick berries. I can remember him going with us. And now mentioning the golf course, we used to play over there. There's a pond over there that they call the Brook Pond, and it gets its name from the fact that it was made because they dug out a real gummy clay that was there, and they made bricks. There was a brickyard. And down in the area beyond my mother's over there, you can still find bricks, pieces of broken bricks around where the brickyard was there. Well, this pond occurred, you see, because they dug it out and used the clay. And that's where we skated in the wintertime. And we had to clean it off ourselves. We took our shovels over, and usually the big boys did it. And before I was good enough to skate on the pond with kids, we didn't skate. I didn't have any at that time. I don't know if they even had them when I was small. But I learned to skate on the little puddles that occurred around in the Roman golf course. And I used a pair of my brother's clamp-on skates, probably clamped them on top of my galoshes. I can't remember. But I learned to skate anyway. And I still love to ice skate. And when shoe skates came in, that was really a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And then speaking of the skating, we skated on the river. And you said you couldn't believe that the Cass River froze. Well, it did. And down here between the two bridges, the big boys always kept that cleaned off. And they'd have a big campfire going there, a big bonfire at the side. And we skated for hours down there. Oh, it was fun. And we were talking about it the other day, and my sister said she'll never forget the time that they skated all the way to Saigon on back. I didn't even get in on that. I don't know where I was.
That's a lot of skating.
And they skated all the way. I skated part way after I started going with my husband. We skated a long ways up. I don't know where to, but we did. And we had a lot of fun on the ice, and then we also had a lot of fun in the summer. The river was clean. And I was telling my son this when he was home last time. I said we used to skate or swim down there behind the nursery.
Yeah.
What's the name of that?
Cass River Nursery,
yes. There was a sandbar back there. And he looked at me with disbelief on his face. I said, well, Bill, the river has changed a lot. The water has changed a lot since I was that age. He says, it must have. Because it's so dirty now. But that was clear.
Really?
And it had a sandy bottom, and we used to go down there and go swimming.
But
we girls were never allowed to go unless my mother and my dad went with us, because there were holes. But the boys, now listen to this, they swam between the two bridges where we skated, and they would dive off the top of the railroad bridge. That little railroad bridge is there?
Yeah.
And it has side notch, you know, the metal scaffolding
yeah.
that goes up way up high. And they would climb up on top of that and dive in. And before they did that, in the spring, every spring they would swim in the water there and clear out any junk or anything that had gotten thrown down in there so they wouldn't cut their head wide open when they landed. And we didn't have any swimming pools to go to, so they swim there. They also swam over at the brick pond. And another thing they did over there, they caught turtles and catfish, bullheads they call them around here, I guess. And I can remember my brothers bringing big turtles home that they caught over around the brick pond. And my mother was the only mother in town that would cook it and make turtle soup for the boys. Because nobody else wanted to move with it. I think my mother was the only mother that wanted to bother with a lot of things with the kids.
It sounds like it.
She was. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps her young. She always worked with young people from the time she began.
What were the winters like?
Seems to me that we had more snow. Maybe it just seemed that way because you know when you were a kid, can you remember when summer or some particular time of year lasted, seemed like it lasted forever?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It seemed like we had more snow. Maybe we didn't. And this hill here, I think they cut it down when they blacktopped it. There was quite a hill right here on this corner. And this is where we did our sliding. Oh, the big kids even, so you know it must have been a
yeah.
bigger hill. And we had a lot of fun there. Other than that, and the ice skating, that's about all I can remember about the winters, except that it was cold. And, oh yes, down on the Cass River, they used to cut ice too, because when I was small, you see, they didn't have refrigerators. I remember when my mother had the first refrigerator. We had ice boxes, and you bought ice. And down on Fayette Street there was a man down there that had a great big barn with lots of dust in it. And they cut ice and buried it in that sawdust.
Really?
Uh-huh, and it held all summer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They had a lot of sawdust. And, even after we didn't, even after we had a refrigerator, it seems to me, we would go down there and buy ice in the summertime and make ice cream. We had one of those.
We got one of those.
There's no ice cream that tastes as good as that. Ice cream now doesn't taste like that.
You must not have been able to buy very much food ahead of time if you didn't have refrigerators, like meat and stuff, meat and milk. And
my folks had a what they call a root cellar out in the backyard. Now they call it a tornado shelter. It would have been a good one. And they always had a big garden, and my mother and grandmother canned lots. And that was always full of canned food. There were shelves in there. It was lined with cement, and then this sod put over it.
Yeah, my grandma had one.
And there were wooden shelves in there, and that was always full of canned foods. They canned meat. I can remember.
Oh, yeah?
Oh yes, I can remember my mother canning beef. And they always had chickens, and they canned chickens in big 2-quart cans.
Oh, yeah?
And now the home economists say that you'll die if you don't put them in a pressure cooker, and you never heard of a pressure cooker. They co-pack things in those cans, and did the meat, the beef the same way. They cooked it first, and then put it in, and then co-packed it. And we're all alive. And another thing, then you said they couldn't keep meat. In the steps going down to that root cellar, my folks would buy a quarter of a beef, or maybe half a pig, and they hung it in there, and it would freeze. It would be just frozen enough. You could cut off of what, but it would keep. And I don't know how long that kept, but I can remember that.
I didn't know that.
And they always made sauerkraut. That was my job, to stand and tamp it like this with that big, a great big wooden mallet, like a big old-fashioned potato masher on a stick, and pound and pound and pound and pound, and then Grandma would put more shredded cabbage in and more salt, and then I'd pound and pound and pound until the juice came up over it.
Well, that sauerkraut is good.
Yeah, Mom and Dad make it, but they don't pound it. They put a plate on it, put a rock on it.
Well, then she put the plate, the big, she had a big round wooden thing. I went in this big crock, stood about this high, about this big around.
Wow.
With that big wooden thing that Grandpa had cut about so big and thick. And then a great big rock on top of that. And that was put in the root cellar. We kept that on there. I can't remember because she made pickles in a crock too, but I know some of our neighbors did, because one neighbor especially always made dill pickles. Mm-hmm. And we could hardly wait until they were ready to to get out. I don't know whether her mother liked us to do it, but we always got the dill pickles and ate them. Maybe we weren't even supposed to be in there.
Where'd you get most of your stuff, like your clothes and all that, and the groceries? Did you get from this house?
There was a grocery store right down here where the bakery and the drugstore is. There was a smaller grocery there. And by the way, that was one of the first jobs I had when I got out of high school, as I told you. Jobs are very hard to come by. And I started working there. I clerked there for $5 a week, so you can see how prices were very cheap. Beef would have been, it seems to me it was about 18 or 28 cents a pound. I know my mother could roast for our family for about 75, 80 cents. And there were six of us. Eggs were anywhere from 12 cents a dozen when I worked there.
Wow, that's good.
And we have packaged sugar now. One of my chores when I worked in the grocery, I worked there for a couple of years or a year and a half or so, was to, sugar came in a big 100-pound sack. And I had to weigh it out in the, whether I put it out in 3 and 5 pound, 10 pound sacks, like you buy it now. I mean, the stores buy it all sealed up like that. But that was my job, and I tied string around it. And I'd weigh out a couple, 200-300 pounds of sugar for the Saturday trade.
For Saturday trade?
Well, they did a tremendous business there. And they think that it's new to have stores open at night. Mrs. Lee was open till 11 o'clock every night.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. I didn't have to work. Only on Saturday night I worked until 9. And the rest of the time I think I got off at 6. I worked from about 8:15 to 6 with an hour and a half off at noon. I don't know whether I was supposed to work that many hours, but I did for $5.
This wasn't all built up like it is now,
no,
was it?
No,
it
was there was an old house there, a long one, and an old, low black house over here that had never been painted. This house wasn't here, and Shaw's weren't here. None of those houses there. I don't know whether Mrs. Preter's house might have been here when I was a little girl. I guess it was. Because she lived there. And then when I was about 10 years old, this house, I remember when it was built, I never dreamed I'd be living here. Oh yes, that's something interesting I can tell you about Bridgeport. This house is built on the foundation of a Methodist church that was here. There was I can just faintly remember that old red brick church that was here. And when Preters bought this property, they bought the church and all, I think, and tore it down. And some of the beams that are in this house are from that church. The walls in my basement are very thick, like that. And that's the walls of the old basement.
Well, it was just built.
Yeah, it was built right on. They had made a plan to fit that foundation. The thing that I can mainly remember about that old brick church is that when we were just children, I don't know whether I was visiting here. My grandparents lived here first before we moved here. And I was a tag along because my brothers were older than I. And the older kids were going to come in the church. And they didn't want me to come, evidently, because they told me the church was haunted. And I can remember coming in after them and peering in here, but I don't think I stayed long. I don't know whether I knew what haunted meant, but I was scared. I knew it was something to be afraid of. And I can tell you something interesting about this church, and it happens to anything. The people have to bickering amongst themselves. And the church, it just disintegrated until there was nobody here.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they decided not to have a church, I guess. They couldn't agree on a lot of things.
And so it just disbanded.
So, mm-hmm. And it looked like a pretty good church. I mean, the building.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else to ask me? There were a lot of barns in Bridgeport when I was a kid, but nobody had any horses that I remember.
Did you used to visit your neighbors a lot, or did you just stay in the family?
Oh, yeah, we visited our neighbors. Mrs. Light down here at the real estate place? She was my best girlfriend, and she lived out on Floraline. And we played back and forth, and her mother and my mother were very good friends. Yeah. We used to walk out there. They walked here. Everybody walked.
Yeah.
And there was no other. And she came to, they go to St. Canal, but they didn't have a car, I don't believe, at that time when I was quite young. And, they came to our church. Mrs. Banger went to, she had a son too, and she wanted to tell him to go to Sunday school, so she came to our church because they couldn't get downtown to St. Mary's. Well, then after they had a car, why, they started going to St. Mary's Cathedral downtown because she was a very devout Catholic. But Mary Frances, my girlfriend, was good friends with all of the group that went to our church, and she received permission from her priest to come to our youth group, and she continued in our group like that, but, you know, for the fellowship and the fun. She took part in all of our hikes and our parties, and was at our house a lot. And We were just talking the other day, Mary and I have been friends for over 50 years.
Wow.
Ever since we moved here. I lived in a house, it was a house right over here on State Street when we first moved here. And one day, shortly after we moved there, Mrs. Granger and Mary were walking down to the store, I guess. And I was out in the yard. I was a little kid, 6 years old. And Mary Frances is younger than I by a couple years, so she would have only been about four. And, of course, seeing a little girl, they stopped to talk to me. They asked me what my name was. And my name is Ruth Lillian, and I told them my name was Lillian. I don't know why, whether I didn't. Maybe I didn't like Ruth at the moment. Mary says she always remembers that. And we have been friends ever since, and it's been 51 years ago.
Wow.
And when they had the ecumenical service at the church this last spring, about 2 months ago, why Mrs. K had charge of getting some of the coffee hour, and she found out that Mary Light from St. Christopher's and I had been friends for so long, and so she asked us to pour, and I thought it was kind of a nice idea.
Yeah.
When we had all St. Christopher's people, you know, over there and from St. Mark's and from St. Matthew's, I think, were there too. They had four churches. And so she had Mary at one end of the table and me at the other.
How have the other buildings, businesses and everything else changed? It wasn't built up like it is from Sangamon out here now.
Oh, no, there were farms when they grew up.
Oh, farms.
My grandfather had a lot of chickens, like maybe 1,000 to 1,200, 1,500 leggerns. He was in the egg business for a long time. And he had an old model, must have been a Model T. And what else it would have been at that time. And every Saturday he had egg customers, and he would do the old Model T up with eggs and take them to town and deliver them. And that was when we would ride down with him if we wanted to go shopping, my mother and I. And he would drop us off downtown and he'd deliver his eggs and then he'd pick us up. Then after later, they rode the Greyhound bus a lot. I guess the Greyhound bus still goes through here, but I haven't seen it for a long time. But a lot of people rode the Greyhound because, you see, by that time there was no interurban. And people just didn't have two cars to a family like they do now. And so even after I was married, I rode the Greyhound when I wanted to go shopping.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Downtown center?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would pick us up down here at the corner, across from the dry cleaners. You know, with the light there. And I don't know what they charged. By that time, it was about 20, 25 cents. I think originally it was about 15 cents to ride to town. Or if you bought a round trip, it was a quarter, I think. You could buy a round trip ticket for 25 cents. And they ran about every 2 hours.
Did you go down there to get your school every year? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I remember, yeah, we did a shop. My first job when I graduated was checking clothes in at a dry cleaning establishment on that street. It isn't a very good street now. Tuscola? That isn't the name of it. Anyway, I worked there for $5 a week too, but I didn't work there very long. Then later, after I worked at the grocery store for a while, and then I quit there, and then I started working at the old Sears store downtown. Now, I don't mean the one out here that they left from when they went to the mall.
Oh.
You know, there was another one. They had another one, the first store that Sears had.
Oh, yeah?
And it was down by the river on Genesee. You know where the Morley Arcade is?
Yeah.
That's where Sears was.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. And I worked in there, after I started at Sears, I worked for 8 years, and then I moved with them over to what they called the new store at that time, you know, the store that they had inside. And working downtown was nothing like it is now. It was quite an adventure. It was so much fun. Saginaw was so nice. It was just a thrill to work downtown and to have your noon hour to go window shopping. And I just made the remark to someone the other day, the stores had such pretty things in the windows, and we didn't have any money to buy them. We shopped and window shopped every noon hour, and we never tired of it. All, you know, look at the things and what we could buy, why we'd buy, but we couldn't buy very much. And now we have the money and nothing to buy. You go shopping and I can look and look for days and not find anything.